In Canada, as in the rest of the world, Canadians are remembering South Africa's Nelson Mandela. The Canadian media is featuring reports from South Africa and from world leaders, and is also focusing on Canada's long relationship with Mandela and South Africa. A relationship that has sometimes been contradictory, sanctioning apartheid, but continuing to trade with South Africa and then helping in the elimination of apartheid and the honoring of Nelson Mandela. In 1961, Canada's progressive conservative Prime Minister John Diefenbaker took a strong stand against South Africa being in the Commonwealth.
I have made it very clear that Canadians as a whole unequivocally deplore the practice of apartheid. We believe that in a Commonwealth composed of many races and colors and with an overwhelming majority of colors other than white, that the principles of equality without regard to race or any other consideration must be generally be acceptable to all the member nations.
In 1964, Nelson Mandela was sentenced to life in prison for plotting to overthrow the government by violence. In Canada, concern over the apartheid regime continued, but so did doing business with South Africa. In the summer of 1970, on our national public broadcaster CBC-TV, James Graham of the Trade and Development Ministry of Canada's largest province of Ontario defended doing business with South Africa.
My department, the Department of Trade and Development, headed by the Honorable Stanley J. Randall, have a practical viewpoint or outlook as far as business opportunities are concerned for the manufacturers and businessmen in Ontario. We say where business can be gained for Ontario manufacturers, where it's practical to pursue this with in the structure of Canadian trade policy, we do so.
How does that meet your view, Mr. Windsor?
I would say, Mr. Graham, what you're saying is that if there's a buck to be made, Ontario is going to make it.
Precisely.
And you don't care how you do it.
No, there's some, we have some ethical and moral responsibility. I don't particularly like that statement that if there's a buck to be made, we'll get it regardless. We are reasonable traders and aggressive people.
Yes, but the Canadian government says that the South African government is a very bad government. It oppresses its people. It has voted for all kinds of resolutions at the United Nations and has written to the British government saying, don't send arms to South Africa. And then the next day, literally at the same time as Mr. Trudeau's letter is going to the British government raising static, the Ontario government is sending along a group of 19 people to make a buck. And of course, to make bucks for South Africa.
I think the Canadian government has a voice and a role to play in international affairs that passes along some comment and viewpoint with regard to the political considerations in the trading countries around the world. But to say that the Canadian government is not interested or is condemning the South Africans on the basis of doing normal business with them is quite wrong. The Canadian government and the Canadian business community did some $67 million worth of business with South Africa in the most recent figures published 1969. The situation in South Africa for the businessman is most opportune.
Canada continued its economic relations with South Africa until 1977, despite repeated urging from the United Nations for sanctions. In 1977, the Canadian government and Foreign Affairs Minister Don Jameson announced trade sanctions, withdrawing any support from corporations doing business in South Africa. CBC radio host Barbara Frum talked to South Africa's Foreign Minister Bik Botha about the impact of the sanctions.
Mr. Botha, have you got an answer for Don Jameson?
No, I'm not in a position where I'm required to have an answer. That is a decision within the jurisdiction of the Canadian government. And if that's the way they wanted to deal with things, then it's up to them to do so. I've got no comment. It's their business.
Has this surprised you?
I don't think that the foreign minister of South Africa can be surprised anymore by anyone in any event.
Has it angered you?
No, it did not.
Does it affect you? Does it make a difference? I think Canada would like to think that if they put on the heat, you're going to change.
No. Well, if that is the position, the answer is no. We're not changing for the sake of others. We don't go into world forums and hammer Canada on its difficult points like Quebec and the Red Indian. We stay right out of it. That's a big difference.
We buy from you more than we sell to you. Is it going to have much economic effect, do you think?
I haven't gone into that, quite frankly, because it wasn't all that important to me, if I might put it that way.
That trade with Canada is not that important to you?
Trade with the whole world is important to us, and goodwill and friendship with all governments. Those are things that are important to understand, talking to one another.
The question is, can Canada, perhaps in concert with other countries in the West, force you to liberalize?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. I've often wondered whether we could, by talking to Canada, persuading to be a bit more humane and more realistic as far as your indigenous people are concerned and the people of Quebec. I've often wondered why Canadian government adopt that kind of harsh attitude. We are not perfect, but we are not the villains that some of your politicians are trying to make us out to be.
As they had before, church groups, community organizations, and Canadian chapters of Mandela's African National Congress continued their efforts to resist the regime even as Mandela himself languished in prison. It was not until 1985 that Progressive Conservative Prime Minister Brian Mulroney emerged as a vocal champion of the fight against apartheid, broke ranks with other Western leaders, and imposed strict economic sanctions against the government. Vern Harris, Mandela's chief archivist and head of memory programming at the Nelson Mandela Foundation in Johannesburg, said Mandela was aware of Canada's growing support for his cause during the 27 years of his incarceration. So when he was released from prison in 1990, Mandela phoned Prime Minister Mulroney. This is how the former Prime Minister described what happened next.
Yeah, he called soon after he got out of jail and said that because of the tremendous solidarity and friendship that the Canadians had provided over so many years, that he wanted to reciprocate and make his first speech to a democratically elected parliament in Ottawa. And I was delighted to accept on behalf of the people of Canada. He came over and he entered the House of Commons to the greatest reception I think the House of Commons has ever accorded anyone, with the possible exception of Winston Churchill in 1939. But it was fantastic.
That June, Nelson Mandela addressed a joint session of the Canadian Parliament and thanked Canadians for their support.
We are deeply moved that today you honor all this noble offspring of our people by allowing us, who were outcasts only yesterday, to experience, if only fleetingly, what it means to stand and speak at a place whose existence is based on the recognition of the right of all the people to determine their destiny, and whose purpose is to ensure that the right is guaranteed in perpetuity. We are made better human beings by the fact that you have reached out from across the seas to say that we too, the rebels, the fugitives, the prisoners, deserve to be heard.
Mandela would return twice more to Canada. During his visit in 1998, He was the first foreign leader to be appointed an honorary companion of the Order of Canada. During his third and last visit in 2001, Mandela became the first living recipient of an honorary Canadian citizenship. I'm Wojtek Gwiazda, Radio Canada International.